Thank you very much for the privilege of sharing with you today in this anniversary service. I so appreciate it, really do. Stephen and Jilly, you're amazing people. You don't really know that, and you won't even believe it if I tell you, but you are, and we thank God for you sincerely, both of you, believing that God brought you together for this season and to serve the church in the way that you have done. And we just want you to know we appreciate you so much. And there's lots of people in this room who would say, you have been such an example to us, both of you, and we appreciate you. May the Lord continue to bless you and use you for his glory. I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 8, and it's that little section when Noah has come out of the ark, no doubt very gratefully. And I'm reading from verse 18 of Genesis chapter 8. Verse 18 of Genesis chapter 8. I heard somebody say, not so long ago, those of you who are under 18, the Bible is now available in written form. So if you haven't got a phone, you might want to turn it up. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wives and his sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds. Everything that moves on land came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Again, it's a real privilege to come and share in what is your 31st birthday. And since I was there at the beginning, it is a long time since I was with so many other 31-year-olds in the same place at the same time. But it's good to be together, and it is a real wonderful celebration. It is a celebration, as we've said and heard already, of all that God has done down through the years. God has been working even when we haven't seen it. And God was working in preparation, and God will be working today in hearts and lives. And we thank God for God bringing this church to birth in his time and his way. And it's also a celebration, as we've said, of the faithfulness of so many who have given of their time, given money, who have given energy, who have prayed, who have sought to encourage even when the going has been tough. And we thank you in Jesus' name for all that you have done. November is often a month that's thought of as a month of closure. It's when things begin to batten down for the winter. If you want to visit a country house, it's very likely that you'll discover, if you go on the internet, that it closed on the 31st of October. November is closure month. We begin to finish things. But in God's own time and purpose, he birthed something new in November, 31 years ago, because God has the right to do that, to break into seasons and do whatever he wants to do, regardless of what time it is. And your past as a fellowship is something that we need to give thanks for. It's vital to remember names and faces, as we've done on some of those shots that you showed. Thank you so much for that. It's important that we remember moments of special blessing that God poured out upon us here at King's Church. But as you know better than I do, God did not bring King's Church into being so that we could constantly look back to the past, but he brought it into being so that we could seek his face for the plans he has to touch and change lives for the future. God has many more people to bring into his kingdom through this particular fellowship. And with that in mind, Mel and I came for a walk here last Saturday, and we had lunch here because we wanted to ask God, what is it you might want to say on this particular occasion? So we walked up and down and we prayed and we tried to listen as best we can. And as we walked, these verses came from nowhere, from Genesis chapter 8, and particularly verse 22, these lines: "As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest will never cease." And I sense that God promised us three things in that line. Three things that I want us just to think about ever so simply today. First of all, God makes us a promise of seed. There's no point in promising us seed time if there's no seed to distribute. God makes us a promise of seed. And while the earth endures, there'll be seed. Then I know it's one word in the scripture, but I want to split it up because I think it's implied. God promises us time. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. But God promises us time because you need time to sow the seed. And then thirdly, God promises us a harvest. While the earth endures, there'll be seed and there'll be time and there'll be harvest. God has declared for us. So very simply, God promises there'll be seed. When we came to Boston Spa to pray, we realised last week the leaves were blowing around and they're falling off the trees and they're falling off the bushes, and some of the trees are looking really bare and it's winter already. But we noticed one thing. If you look closely at the bushes, there are still berries on the hedges. And you know, the berries, they are the seeds for next year's harvest. There's still seed out there, even though it looks very, very barren. They're God's provision for the future. And you know me because I've been connected with the church since its inception. I was remembering that first meeting in the village hall, the back room there. I want to say, I'm not a tub thumper, I'm not a Bible basher, but I want to ask you a question, my friends, this afternoon. What seed are you carrying today? What seed are you carrying today that is part of God's provision for the future? I have a friend, he's not here, so you can all relax. I do have a friend, he's not here, and his name is Bob. That's what I'm going to call him. And if Bob was here, I would say to him, Bob, how has it been for you? And Bob would say this. And I know that because on his 30th birthday, which is a long time ago now, I said, Bob, how does it feel to be 30? And Bob said, 30 now, I'm beginning to really feel it. And Bob has carried as his seed for the last 32 years. That's what he's carried. If you ask him now, if he was here, Bob, how are you? That's what he's carried. I want to ask you sincerely this afternoon, what seed are you carrying this year, this Christmas time, this Advent? What is it? You see, God has promised that the seed time won't end until Jesus comes again. Therefore, we can believe the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue to work in the hearts and the lives of people, being productive in and out of season. But the gospel needs sowers. When God told Noah, you've landed now, the seed time and harvest is never going to fail. I'm sure Noah said, hallelujah. And then he thought, hang on, but I'm going to be responsible for some of the seed sowing. And actually, if there's going to be a future, I need to be able to teach other people how to sow seed. Seed and seed sowers were necessary for life to continue. Can I ask you again, what seed are you carrying this year? What seed's being carried in your heart? What seed are you carrying that thinks about the future? There are countries like Ethiopia, aren't there, that are constantly in economic and financial difficulty, and our hearts go out to it. It's not a case of blame. There are many layers to the problems that these nations face, but one is subsistence farming. And in subsistence farming, people plant enough seed to be able to generate a harvest for the coming year. They work it out. If we plant this much, we should just about have enough for next summer. But if the harvest fails, big trouble. Nothing in reserve. Can I encourage you with all my heart? Let's not be subsistence farmers as long as the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned. Let's be generous in our sowing. Let's believe that there's seed because God wants to bring a harvest. Let me encourage you in that today. Paul, writing in the first chapter of Romans, says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God for salvation to the Jew first and then the Gentile. And he adds these words, for in the gospel, a righteousness that is from heaven has been revealed, a righteousness that comes by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the just shall live by faith. There is seed for us to sow, to Jew and Gentile, black and white, old and young, And we are the sowers. What seed are you carrying in this season? In Luke chapter 8, Jesus is reported by Luke as saying, the seed is the word of God. My goodness, our nation needs the word of God. Are we then, by the witness of our words, by the witness of our lifestyle, by the way that we are we sowing the seed of the gospel, knowing that God has made us a promise for the future? Today of all days, that gentle reminder needs to be in our hearts and minds. We are not celebrating as curators of a museum. We are partners in ministry with the Holy Spirit for all that God has got planned for the future. There's seed to be sown, and we can be the sowers. Mother Teresa is quoted as saying, God didn't call me to be successful, but he did call me to be fruitful. May God help us to be fruitful people in our generation. Then secondly, the passage implies that time will not end until Jesus comes again. Of course, without being morbid and without looking at the older members, Stephen, the congregation, we don't know how much time we've got left, do we? I mean, there'll be enough time for fish and chips, I'm hoping. But we don't know how much time we've got left. But, you know, we have to believe that God has given us the time we have. David, in Psalm 139 and verse 16, he says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before any one of them came to me. Moses in Psalm 90 says, teach us, Lord, teach us to be aware of our days, to number our days, that we may gain wisdom. And these two great men of God realized that they were given time, but that the time was limited. It's 31 years since King started, which means I was 32 years old at the time. Can I ask you a question that I've been asking myself for quite a long time? Where have the years gone? Where have the years gone? It's a serious question. Are these years in which I am still willing to step out for what I believe as I did in the past? Are these years when I'm still willing to make myself uncomfortable for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are they years when I'm still willing to take a risk for Jesus today? Or have those years gone now? I remember a few years ago, Al and I came and ate at Piccolino's in Collingham. Some of you will know it. We had a lovely meal, but we'd been praying before we came out, and as the waiter came, I felt like there was a problem with his father. So I asked his name. He said, my name's Paolo. I said, is your dad in Italy or is he in England? He said, he's back home in Italy. And I said, and he's got a serious problem with his stomach, hasn't he? Paolo said to me, oh, you know. And I said, because actually I'm a follower of Jesus, and I felt that he told me when you walked in that I was to pray for you and for your dad for as long as the Lord led me to. It was very emotional. He served us our meal. We gave him a big tip because he knows we're Christians. We've got to tip him a load of money. And so then, you know, on the way out, I said to him, be praying for you, Paolo. And he cried, and his boss came and said, is there a problem, sir? And I said, no, I'm a follower of Jesus. Just believe I've got to pray for this guy. And 2 years later, because if you've been to Piccolino's, you only just save up for a couple of years. 2 years later, we came back in, and there was Paolo, the first person, and he said to me, are you the couple that... Yes, we are. Actually, his father passed away in that time, but what he knew was we'd been praying for him regularly over that two-year season. And I don't know what seed was planted in his life, but over that two-year period of time, we tried to lift them before the Lord very, very regularly. I don't know where he is today, but he still comes to mind when I pass the restaurant, and we pray for him. Do I still have what it takes today, age 63, to step out in faith like I did in that moment in the restaurant? Will I let the years pass by and time pass by and settle for something less than God called me to when he first called me into relationship with himself? Will my faith become routine? Or will it still include adventure and risk and the thrill of stepping out and making a mistake and yet doing it in the name of Jesus? Can I speak about BCC and not Boston Spa just for a moment? I think some people have settled for couch church. It's really convenient. It's effortless. There's no need to travel, no need to be there. No need to. You can have a coffee while you're watching the service. You can pause it and go to the bathroom. You can text a friend because no one's going to see you. You can avoid the offering basket because it's not going to get passed by unless somebody's been very clever in your church. And people have settled. Some people, not a huge number, but some have settled for couch church. There's a problem with it. They can't be there to welcome a new person. Can't be there to pray with someone else who needs prayer. They can't be there to put their arm around someone who needs encouraging. And I ask myself this question, maybe I'm asking you as well, is it the best use of the time God has given us? Where has the time gone? Last week, a young guy called Yuri was baptized at BCC. He's from Ukraine. And he wrote me an email. So I'd like to be baptized. Here's my testimony. And from it, I judged that he hadn't yet stepped over the line and made a commitment to Jesus. And so, because I was away, I arranged a meeting with him, with one of our elders, and who had the joy of leading him to faith in Jesus Christ. And Yuri said, I've been wanting to do this for years. For years, I've been wanting to step over the line. I've been wanting to get baptized. I've been wanting to give my life to Jesus, but we got busy. Then I was ill. Then I got married. Then my job moved. Then we came to the UK. Time had gone. But there came a moment when he knew he needed to. I wonder if there's someone even here today, and down through the years, you've said to yourself regularly, I must step over the line. I must pray that prayer. I must ask Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. Even this afternoon, you can do that. Even this afternoon, you can invite him as your Lord and Savior. Don't let the years go by if you haven't done so. Invite him to be your Lord and Saviour, but tell Jilly or tell Stephen before you go if that's you. So God has promised seed and God has promised time, but here's the good news, God has promised harvest. Harvest time is a time of celebration. It's time to see fruit from our labour, from what God has been doing in other people's lives. And here's the good news for Kings and for BCC. As we partner with him, as the world endures, the earth endures, God has promised there's going to be seasons of harvest. I think there's harvest all the time, but sometimes there's seasons of harvest. Sometimes we share our faith and we live our lives before others and they seem to be unaffected by the message of God's love in the person of Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage you not to give up. And Paul writes to the Galatians in chapter 6, he said, let's not become weary in doing time, for if we pursue it, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. God's promised a harvest, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. God's promised a harvest. Get excited in your heart. Believe it. Make it the center of your praying. Trust this God who's promised harvest. Bring it back to him in prayer. See, there's another parable about seed that Jesus tells, Luke 8, where a sower goes out to sow. And we remember from our Sunday school days because we remember the warning. Some seed falls on hard ground, some on shallow soil, some gets eaten by the birds of the air, some's choked by weeds, and that's what we remember. But Jesus said in the parable, some reaped 100 and some 60 and some 30-fold. Do you know what? That's the bit we forget. We know all about the hard ground. What we forget about is God, right from the beginning, promised a harvest. There is a harvest coming, brothers and sisters. If we see it with our physical eyes or not, when we pray, we are praying towards God's harvest coming here in Boston Spa and elsewhere, I'm sure. God then has promised seed time, time and harvest. There will always be seed. Will we be sowers of that seed? And there'll always be time. We'll be people who can use our time wisely for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there will be harvest until Jesus comes again. But we have a part to play. So may God bless you. And may God bless the future of King's Church. And even on this anniversary, may we never be those curators of a museum, but always carriers of the seed with which God has promised. He will bring a harvest. God bless you. Amen.